So as Hilary mentioned earlier, today, as well as our Covenant Sunday, where we just take a moment to pause and think about our commitment to God and to one another in the year ahead, it's also, we need a drum roll for this. Can we have a drum roll? I'll give you a second. We'll get a nod from the drummer. Here we go. Thank you. That's a fantastic drum roll. It also marches the launch of our 2030 vision. Thanks, Tim. So some of you might remember that we did quite a lot of work on this last year because we'd set ourselves a vision for 2025, and we'd obviously got to that point, and it was really helpful. I found it a really helpful process just to review where we were, just to take stock. And I don't know if you remember, we did that over the month of June. We had a teaching series that looked back and looked up and looked forward. And we just spent some time looking at our previous vision that we'd set ourselves, thanking God for all that he had done, but also recognising some of the areas that he might want to call us into, to move into in the years ahead. So thank you for all of that. Thank you for all the contributions, the small group discussions, work that we did actually in the services. We gathered round and we collected lots of information. And the deacons took all that and we prayed through it, and we were able to kind of condense it all down into the vision for us as we move forward into the next 5 years. And that was brought to you in October. I don't know if you, some of you remember that. Abraham shared that with you and brought that before the church in our meeting in October. And today is the official launch as we begin this kind of focus vision or direction moving forward. And here it is. We're going to pop it up on the screen. And we also got another lovely poster here that will be around in church as well to help us remember what we've tasked ourselves or the direction that we feel God is calling us into in the next 5 years. And here it is. It's very simple, that we might be a church that seeks, that serves, that shares Christ. It's intentionally short, and it's designed for us to remember. So I won't be doing too many tests, but you might want to practice this over the next few months, and then I'll ask you off later if you can remember it. But the point of it is that it's something very simple that we can all grasp and own and hold onto, and hopefully it will get into our DNA as a church and get in under our skin a little bit and generate some energy and some focus and the direction to go forward into for the next 5 years. I think it's been really helpful to do this together because I think it's a vision that has been shaped already by the journey that the church is on. That missional journey that you started before I arrived, around a sense of us calling us out to share faith with our community. We're a church that's got a long history of doing that globally as well, and that's very important to us. And there was also a sense when I first arrived that whatever we were being called into here, that it was about friendship, relationships, it was about being generous, about being a blessing. So some of the words that we picked up in our previous vision. And this almost is like the next part of the journey, really, for us. I think as deacons, as we were preparing and thinking about what this might look like, we really felt that there was a sense of God calling us to be more intentional, to be clearer about what we should be doing. We were so thankful for all the amazing friendships that we've made, and the depth of relationships that we have with so many people in our community. But our real heart, isn't it, is that people might come to meet Jesus and to know him for themselves. So part of this is also about encouraging ourselves to be quite clear about what our heart is for the village and those around us. It's action based, but it's also motivated and centred in Christ. So over the next few weeks, we're going to spend a bit of time as a church, as part of our teaching programme. We're going to break this down and we're going to think about what it means to be a church that seeks. We're going to be thinking about what it means to be a church that serves and a church that shares. And then our final focus will be, what does it mean that we do that from the motivation of a church that is rooted into the love of Christ and Jesus' love for the world? So that's our kind of journey for the next few months as we head forward into our teaching programme. But this will come back frequently. We're going to use this. I don't want this to just be some words that we kind of put on a shelf and it just gets really dusty. What my prayer for us is that it will really get under our skin as a church and it become a way that we understand ourselves as God's people here. We've got it for quite a long time. We were quite ambitious this time. We've set it now for 5 years. And we want to use this as a way of really helping us have a direction moving forward. So why would we want to do this? What's the value of having a vision? I think there's some really good reasons why we can do this. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about an experience that I had, and I don't know if this has happened to you, I'm sure it has, but I've got very reliant, I don't know about you, on Google Maps now. I just sort of use it all the time when I'm out and about. There are other Google Maps version things that you can use, but I tend to use Google. And last year, I had a really interesting experience. I got into a part of the country where I just couldn't connect, and all of a sudden, my Google Maps went down. I think I was in Lincolnshire, actually, but don't quote me on that. I think it was Lincolnshire. I was coming back from a conference, and I suddenly got to the end of the road, and I realised I didn't know where I was. I had no idea where I was in the country. It was a country road, and I didn't know whether I was going to go left or right. Have you ever had that sort of moment when your kind of technology fails you? And it's quite disorientating, isn't it? Slightly confusing. And then I started to think, am I ever going to be able to get out of Lincolnshire? Which was a bit scary. And also, there was a sense of wasting time and energy and resources. Was I going round in circles? There was possibly the chance that I was doing that. Would I have enough fuel? I was looking at my fuel. How do I get out of this situation? So in the end, I just decided I'd just keep driving until I hit a mainish road. I didn't recognise any of the names of any of the towns either. And then look for a sign, hopefully, for a motorway or something. And it kind of did work. It took me quite a long time. It was frustrating. It was inefficient. And I did quite a few wrong turns. And it took me far longer than it should have done without the map. But there's a very different experience, isn't there? It's very different when you actually use some means or a map that helps you find your direction forward. There's something very positive about having a clear direction, a clear route that you need to move in. A shared map provides clarity and it provides efficiency. It gets you to the point as fast as you can with the least amount of delays and turning around and making mistakes. And it's also really helpful if you're trying to do it as a whole group of people. You know, you're all on a journey in different cars. If you've got a map and a planned journey and a bit of a vision of where you're going, then you've got a shared language, you've got a shared route. There's a sense of doing everything together and of moving forward. It stops you drifting and heading in the wrong way. And that's really what a vision can do for us. It's something that we've thought about as a church together, and we've prayed about it. We've tried to listen to God, and it's a way that will help us move forward in a clear direction, but also with space to listen and to hear God, so that we can be sensitive about the direction and the way that it goes. When I was preparing for this message, I was thinking about the passage that might be most helpful as we reflect on what we're doing in our vision. And there's loads of examples of this, isn't there? There's loads of examples of journeys. Carol and I were actually talking about what it is to do a journey and how long it can take and the sense of getting in the right direction and feeling at home. There's plenty, isn't there, in the Bible. You can look at the Exodus, journey into the Promised Land with Joshua. There's the more recent one we've been thinking about of Mary and Joseph travelling to Bethlehem. There's all of Paul's missionary journeys that we could have looked at. And of course, there's Jesus' journey himself as he sets his face towards Jerusalem and the cross. And Mark's gospel is a fantastic gospel to get a real sense of Jesus moving forward in a journey towards the cross. But what I decided to do was I actually settled on some words from Hebrews because I found them really helpful. I'm going to read them to you now. This is from the New Living Translation. It's Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, to the life of faith. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honour beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and you won't give up. So I think this is a really helpful passage as we begin this focused journey, this ongoing journey that the church has been on for so many years. As we go into the next stage of it, it's a really helpful passage to remind us of this sense of journeying or sojourning as we move forward as believers. It's a really good biblical principle that we are people on the move and that we hold things lightly as we move forward. And that's our focus really for the next few years, that sense of action and of moving forward. But just a few thoughts about the passage that I think are really helpful for us at this point. We don't travel alone, do we? Millions of people of faith have gone before us. We can look through history and see the journeys that they've made and the way the church globally has moved forward in lots of amazing, creative ways. Sometimes in not such great, amazing ways as we've made mistakes. But the church continues to grow globally. In our own village here, I'm often reminded of this as I walk past the chapel. I don't know about you, but when I look at the chapel, I'm reminded of the Baptist congregations that have been in this village for a long time now, and over 200 years when they first started gathering in people's homes. God is really faithful, isn't he? We are surrounded, even in the village here, by a huge crowd of witnesses from our own Baptist tradition and also those that have worshipped at Holy Trinity as well. People of faith in the village who surround us with their witness and the way that they've shared their faith over the years. Paul talks about this, that we're surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses. And of course, if you read Hebrews, it's just after that amazing passage, all the incredible patriarchs and all the people of history that have come before. It's a reminder of the witnesses of down through thousands of years of God not giving up on people, but using people, using families, using nations to change the world. God is not finished with his world. God is not finished with our church yet. We have a huge crowd of witnesses. And some of you might be remembering some of the amazing witnesses that have journeyed with you, that are no longer here, that are part of our church. So that's the first thing that we remember as we do this journey. It is a continuum of something that's been happening for a long, long time. But Paul also reminds us that there's also a need to throw things off, things that hinder us, patterns of behaviour, of sin that hold us back. And that's why it's good every so often to review and take stock, isn't it? We've done that today, really, thinking a little bit about the year ahead and what commitment we might make. That powerful hymn we've just sung about inviting God to use every part of our lives to serve him. Sometimes we need to do that. We need to acknowledge that we do make mistakes, that there is sin present in our lives, but also in our church life as well. We need to be aware of those things, awake to those things, so that we can deal with them and sort them out. And that allows us to move forward in freedom. It reduces the barriers and the things that might trip us up as we seek to move forward. So that's maybe something to ponder on as you go home today and think about the message. Are there things in your life that might be slowing you down as you try to move forward as a disciple? Are there sins that you need to confess as individuals, but also as church? And we should have those honest, open conversations, because it's the only way to move forward and also to find healing as we move forward. Paul also reminds us in this passage that the journey requires perseverance. This isn't a sprint, it's a marathon, it's a long race. And sometimes we feel weary. And some of you might be feeling weary today. Paul encourages us to encourage one another and to carry one another along as we go on the journey. When I was preparing for this, I had a picture of geese flying in a V shape. And it just made me think about how wonderful church is in the way that we are called to work together as a team, a bit like the geese do. So many of you know that the goose at the front has to put in a lot of energy and is the kind of motivator and taking everyone forward. But those behind benefit from the fact that the air is less resistant for them. It helps them to conserve energy. And it helps them as a whole group to move forward. And then they take it in turns, don't they? They come up, take the lead for a bit, and then they drop behind and have a little bit of a rest. And then someone else goes forward. And I think that's quite challenging for us as we think about this journey that we're called onto, this race that we're called into. That there will be times when we do feel weary and we need to watch out and look out for one another and support one another in that. Sometimes we also need to be the ones that step up and be prepared to take the lead use the energy. And there are a number of you that do that for us as you serve in leadership here. It reminds us that we should encourage the leader and those that are ahead carrying us forward. But we also need to then help each other and support one another when we're feeling weary so that we can all move together efficiently. And that's an intentional thing that we have to do. We have to have our eyes and our ears open to those around us. And we have to, sometimes in our culture, we're not always very good at encouraging leaders. It's easy to be critical, and I speak for that for myself as well. But it's just wonderful. A number of you will sometimes come up to me and encourage me. I'm sure the other leaders feel this too. Your words of encouragement are really precious to me. And I want to say thank you because they help me in my perseverance as well. And we can do that for each other, not just for me, but for each other, for the person that's led your Bible study group, those that serve in our youth work, for example. It's just good, isn't it, to speak positive words of affirmation. It's life-giving. There's also something here about discerning the fact that there is a race that we're called into. And it's something that God has marked out for us. And we've tried to do that as a church over the last year as we've come before God and asked him for the next bit of the journey. We need this. We want to follow in God's ways. We want God to point us in the right direction. And to be able to do that, we've got to continue to listen carefully and to discern together and watch out for God's leading as we try to step into this vision. You know, what does it actually mean for us to be a church that seeks? What's God telling us about that? For ourselves seeking him, but also that we're a church that allows people to seek in our community as well. What does it mean to actually serve? Are we serving in the right place? Are we serving the people that God wants us to serve in our community? Are there things we need to stop? Are there things we need to start? It's all about discernment, isn't it? So even though we've got a direction, there's still lots of listening together that we need to do and seeking God for his guidance. But there's so much hope, isn't there, in this passage? There's so much help as we think about what it means to move forward. And one of the things that Paul tells us is that the most important thing, the crucial thing is that we must keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. The goal must be Christ. We mustn't lose sight of him. We mustn't lose our way because we get distracted, because we're not looking forward to who Christ is, what he's calling us to do, whether what we reflect reflects him and his values and his love. Are we orientated towards Jesus? May we be a church that really works hard on trying to fix our eyes on Jesus in the 5 years ahead. Because if we do that, we'll be fine. We'll be absolutely fine. It's not always easy to do that. We do get distracted. But may we be a church that keeps our eyes fixed on Jesus. Paul also warns us in this passage that the road isn't always going to be easy. This year ahead might be very difficult for some people. There might be suffering ahead and bereavement and loss. There might be things that make life hard for us. Paul doesn't say that's not going to happen in these verses. But what he does say is that, again, if we look to Jesus, we know that it's going to be all right. He's gone before us. He endured hardship and opposition. And because he did that and he's gone before us, we know that the journey is possible, that we can do it. Again, we just need to keep going back to him and seeking him and looking for him and checking in with him. When I was preparing this passage, as you can probably tell from what I'm saying, my brain was going to lots of different directions. It's such an exciting thing to talk about, this idea of vision and moving forward. But I was also reminded of the story of Pilgrim's Progress. Is that a story that people are familiar with? I'm doing a bit of studying at the moment and looking at some of the history of the Baptist movement. And some of you might know and some might not know that John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, was a Baptist. He was one of the early Baptists, and he was a very interesting person. If you want to find out some more, I've got an interesting book about him. But he wrote this amazing story of Christian and this sort of allegory of him in a journey of life and trying to work from the city of destruction and moving towards the eternal city, and all the people that he met on the way and all the challenges, some of the things that he had to throw off that held him back and the sin that entangled him. And he got stuck in mire and he met people that tried to distract him, but he kept going until he reached his final point where he was working towards. And I just think it's a wonderful story. I'm going to try and read it again this year. So some of you that are into reading, you might want to join me in reading Pilgrim's Progress again and just following the story through. But it just reminded me of the idea of perseverance and moving forward. Because some of you will know that John Bunyan wrote this in prison. He was thrown into prison because of his Baptist beliefs. They did that in those days. And he wrote this incredible story, and which is one of the sort of famous books in our own culture now that's gone across the world. So maybe have a go at that. That might be one of your New Year's resolutions, is to read Pilgrim's Progress and just think about this whole idea of us in the race and on the journey moving forward and what that might be. So to seek and serve and share Christ, motivated by Jesus' love for the world, it's our roadmap for the next 5 years. And we want this to shape our priorities, to guide our decisions, and to help us remain focused on the kind of church that we believe God is calling us to be. A church that helps people seek Jesus, that helps others in love and serves them, and also shares the good news of Christ. And it's not just a roadmap for mission, but it's also for discipleship. It's for us as a people that we might help each other to be people who keep seeking God, who keep looking for Jesus across all areas of our lives and reorientating ourselves towards him. A church that serves each other in love, and also a church that shares the good news for our own building up and our own maturity in Christ. So I want to finish with just a few practical steps, as well as reading Pilgrim's Progress. You might want to try a few of these. And before you, there's a vision card. So please take one of these. They've been printed for you to use. And they're just a reminder of what our vision is. And they're on the table there if you want to take one home. And it's got our vision 2030 on the card. And also a reminder that we're called to do this in love. On the back. So I'm hoping that you might take this, you might use it as a bookmark or stick it on your fridge so that you're looking at this, and it's a daily reminder of the direction that we feel that God is calling us. Well, as I've already mentioned, we're going to use this for a focus for our teaching for the next few months as well. And we're going to keep coming back to this. It will be a bit of a benchmark for us over the next 5 years. We'll use this as like a review of where we're at over the next few years. We also want to use it as a way of asking questions about our church life. so that we can think about whether the things that we're doing, the things that we're saying, where we're putting our energy in, where we're using our resources, is it helping us to be a church that seeks and serves and shares Christ? And as a deacons team, what we'd like to do probably over the next year possibly is just meet up with those, particularly those leading groups, so that we can have some conversations around the vision and whether you feel that it's happening already in your groups, or whether there's things that we could grow or develop that will help us to make this vision a real live thing that is transforming and growing our church. So that's something for the deacons, but that's what we're intending to do, is to come and have some conversations with all our different groups to think about the vision and whether it's there central in what we're trying to do. So take it away, use this for prayer. As you're praying for the church, you can use this as well as a prayer tool. Think about it for yourself, what that might mean for you in your walk as a person of faith. And also use it in your discussions, and we'll use it as a tool actually at church as well. So I'm just going to finish now. I'm just going to finish just with a very simple prayer, just to kind of bring all this together. And as it's Covenant Sunday, I think it's good to try and just hold this and hold it as a personal thing. So can I just invite you just to pray now? Some of you might like to indicate by holding out your hands if you want to and you're comfortable with that, that you're willing to be part of this prayer. So let's just pray together. Almighty God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence with us as your people in this place for hundreds of years. We thank you that you haven't finished with our church yet, that you have things for us to do. You haven't finished with us as a people. You have changes and transformation to make in our lives. And you haven't finished with us sharing the good news of Jesus with our community here. So, Father, we just lift up to you now the vision that we've formed together, believing that you're calling us forward as a church. And we just say, Lord, we want to join in with all that you're doing. Help us to be a church that seeks, a church that serves, and a church that shares Christ. Help us to work out what that means for us as individuals, and what that means for us as a whole of your body here together in this place and in this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.